All right, Friday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. All right, before we get to some Trump wins and some Trump losses, and of course, we're going to have to do more stuff with the fire. I hope that's not getting old, but you have to do it. More stuff keeps popping up. More things keep surfacing, so we have to do that. And I'm really hoping to get to my Islamic section of the show tonight. It is only three sections away, so hopefully I'll get there. I'm really trying to do it. I've been putting the same stuff in for a long time now. It's really, really good. Free Tommy Robinson, all that. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat real quick. Richard Perry, 49, is on. Gritterdom is on. 23, Justin Blake is on. Granted, 2468 is on. Snag Dog is on. CW is on. Just Jesse's on. Tim L. T-Bird's on. Dead Plant is on. Wisconsin Honey Badger's on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Dave Souders is on. Leon Fish Puppy's on. Neanderthal Soup is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Mobetto 01 is on. Let's see. Joe Heathen is on. Keeper 1376 is on. D9597 is on. Ratcliffe 1965 is on. Uncle Wally's on. Bud Dave is on. Rafa 9821 is on. Peg McGroin is on. McGroin Nation is with us. General Lee 78 is on. Ugly Stick is on. Melissa Pickerel is on. Let me see here. Truth Lover 2 is on. Jim Kohler's on. Hot Shot Insights is on. Ab Seeks Truth is on. John Phillips is on. S. Clark 1968 is on. Luann 5 is on. Let me see here. Just about everybody. All right. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Let's head right to the Trump stuff. Put the first one up for me, Tom. Citizen Free Press tweet. Supreme Court will not cancel Trump's sentencing. We already knew that because Trump did get sentenced today. But I wanted to make sure that we knew how the count went. Just hit the wires. Of course, it's from yesterday. 5-4 decision against Trump. And who voted against him? Here we are again. Justice Roberts voted against him, and Trump nominee Amy Coney Barrett, both sides with liberals. Now let's ask ourselves, when do the liberals ever side with us? See, that's the whole problem with the Republican Party, is that the Republicans believe that it is an attribute to occasionally and or regularly side with liberals so that you look like a balanced politician or a balanced Supreme Court justice. We don't need to be balanced. You don't just go right to scripture. Do not be yoked together. You don't need to be. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? There was no need. And see, this was all a political game to begin with. And I want to give due credit to this statement, but I can't off the cuff remember who it was that said this. It may have been Dershowitz, but I'm not sure. I don't think it was. Somebody else. It was an excellent political commentary. But what could have happened with this was that what Mershon did was Mershon said, the judge in this case, Mershon, what he did was he said, I'm not going to sentence Trump to jail. So SCOTUS didn't really. So SCOTUS was like, you know, with Coney, with John Roberts and Amy Coney Barrett, they said, well, then it'll come to us via appeal anyway, and he's not making the foolish mistake of sentencing the president-elect to jail time on Rikers Island. So what that did was Mershon knew what he was doing. He knew that the Supreme Court then knew that they could relax, and he knew that the five liberals on the court, Tom, no, we own it 6-3 conservative. No. Amy Coney Barrett wants to make sure that everybody thinks, and that's all that matters to Amy Coney Barrett is what people think, is she wants everybody to think that she's unbiased. Okay, you don't have to be biased or unbiased. All you have to do is rule correctly. We know where Elena Kagan is, and Sotomayor, and Ketanji Brown Jackson. We know they are hyper-communist leftists who will never side with Donald Trump. But you never know what John Roberts is going to do, and you never know what Amy Coney Barrett's going to do, and a lot of times you don't know what Brett Kavanaugh is going to do because all of them are worried about how they are portrayed, not who they really are, because all you really need to do is rule correctly. So what Mershon did was make sure that he put out in the public that he wasn't going to sentence Trump to jail so that the SCOTUS then relaxed and said, well, now we don't have to worry about ruling in Trump's favor to keep him out of jail. And then the weakness, you're only as strong as your weakest link. The weak links came out, i.e. Barrett and Roberts, and they did, and they ended up siding with the three liberals. So, and allowed Trump to be sentenced. Now, remember this real quick, and this is more analysis of this, and I have to be real careful because it's already 9:13, and if I keep talking about this, it's going to be 9:48. And I got to be careful because this is one of my pet peeves. Now, we need this will be absolutely obliterated at SCOTUS, even by Barrett and Justice Roberts. John Roberts will vote to overturn this conviction when it gets to the Supreme Court, if it's not overturned in the New York appellate or the New York Supreme Court. It should be. And New York appellate courts are kind of hit and miss instead of always miss. Sometimes they're hitting. Sometimes they're actually correct. Because sometimes, even though you're a leftist, you're able to make a cogent, coherent decision, which is what they're doing in Trump's real estate case. But what we have to remember is there's many overturnable things in this case. One simple stuff to discuss is, how did this become a felony? If you have a bookkeeping error, which, by the way, there is no error, there is no crime, but for the sake of discussion, if you have a bookkeeping error, i.e., you did not check the right box, you didn't mark, again, and I'm trying to skip over parts, but it's too hard to do it. Of course, what this is what they allege is that Trump, when he gave $130,000 to Stormy Daniels via his surrogates, that it should have been marked down as a campaign finance expenditure, and he put it down as a personal lawyer expenditure, which is what it should have been. Who would ever put that down as a campaign expenditure? Not because they're trying to hide anything, but how is that a campaign expenditure? And if he would have put it down as a campaign expenditure, they would have prosecuted him for violating campaign finance laws. So there's no way he could win. This is why the United States attorney wouldn't take it up, why Bragg wouldn't take it up, why the DOJ wouldn't take it up, until, of course, they sent Matthew Colangelo in to reinvigorate Bragg into taking the case. And then Colangelo ran the entire case. Colangelo, number three of the DOJ. But regardless of that, either way, it's a misdemeanor. There is no crime, but if there is a crime, it's a misdemeanor. How did they get it to be a felony? Because if you take the misdemeanor, and by the way, just so everybody knows, all of this, the statute of limitations has already run out, unless you make it a felony. So how did they had to make these 34 counts felonies? How did they make them felonies? That you have to attach another crime to it. So in other words, the misdemeanor had to be perpetrated to cover up for another crime, therefore making the bookkeeping error a felony. So it had to be a bookkeeping error or a bookkeeping misallotment perpetrated to cover up for another crime. What was the other crime? Does anybody know? The other crime was Trump trying to steal the 2020 election. That's what they did. So he did this bookkeeping error, which was done prior to him entering the race. I mean, he's going to enter the race, obviously, but because he was the incumbent. But how was he going to steal the election via this $130,000 payment? But that was the subsequent crime that made the misdemeanors felonies, that he was going to steal an election. Is stealing an election even a crime? Nobody can actually delineate that. And then Mershon, to all of the jurors, you have to actually specifically tell the jurors, these two crimes have to match up. Otherwise, you have no felonies. And he told them, it really doesn't matter whether or not you match it up or not. You can still find him guilty of a felonious crime. No, the only way for the 34 counts to be felonies is if he did it to steal the election. Even though stealing the election is not a discernible crime that can be actually illustrated in a New York City or a New York State statute. So there's so many overturnable things here. I mean, again, and the biggest part of it all is that he got the ruling from SCOTUS. It's kind of complicated, but he got the ruling from SCOTUS was that he had certain presidential immunity, and they used statements that were covered under his immunity to prosecute Trump. That immediately throws out the case. Mershon knows that he's going to lose big an appeal on immunity only. Not to mention the campaign finance thing, not to mention the non-alignment of crimes, not to mention that you made all the misdemeanors felonies with a crime that doesn't exist. It's never, none of this has ever happened before. He knows that he's going to be overturned. He knows that. But what he wants, of course, if you are foolish enough like I am to go and actually check the liberal side of Twitter, i.e. X, today, and they're all rejoicing now because Trump is a convicted felon. But here's the thing. Do you realize that he's still not a convicted felon because he was sentenced to nothing? He was sentenced to no jail, no probation. There are absolutely no penalties whatsoever. So he's still not a convicted felon at all because he was sentenced to thin air. So he's still, they're all wrong. They're ridiculous. That I did get from Alan Dershowitz. He's not a convicted felon. But he knows that he's going to be overturned. So for political expediency, remember his daughter raised $93 million off this case, of which she walked away with $99 million of it, which is all going to come out. Cash Patel has already said, I'm coming after her for that. But now he's able to say, look at the leftist righteous warrior that I am. Not to mention, how did Mershon ever get into this case when he's not one of the 24 judge pool that they choose from for these cases? And he's not a judge, he's an acting judge. So, you know, again, it's so in your face, and it's such a sad and pathetic thing to see Democrats rejoice in this, not understanding that at any time we could pull this with Barack Obama. If we had a really aggressive county attorney, district attorney, state attorney, Ken Paxton, people like that, Andrew Bailey, if they wanted to, they could do this to Obama right now. Just drag him into a red jurisdiction. With a red jury pool, red jury, red grand jury, red judge, red prosecutor, it's all over. And we can do this too if they want to. And I love what Dershowitz said today. I don't know if it's Dershowitz. I listened to two commentaries, but it may have been him. But just like, I think it was Dershowitz, I would never call somebody convicted of a felony in the Soviet Union of a convicted felon, would you? Because it's kangaroo court. Would you call, if Hitler found somebody guilty of a felony, would you say, I believe the man's a convicted felon? No, I mean that is exactly what's happened here. It's more than synonymous with what just happened here. All right, I got to be careful with this. Let's go to the next one. Where the heck am I? Oh, Michelle America First video. Is that the right one? Okay. Remember, Juan Mershon's daughter raised $93 million for her Democrats' clients, and she was paid $9.7 million from the Biden campaign. Play for me, Tom.
As Representative Gates pointed out, the judge's daughter significantly profited from this case to the tune, actually, of $93 million raised for her Democrat clients that include a member of this committee, Representative Goldman, I should point out and put on the record, but also authentic campaigns of which Lauren Mershon, the daughter of the judge, she runs this firm, Authentic Campaigns, and was paid nearly $12 million for her work this cycle for her Democrat colleagues, clients, and including $9.7 million by the Biden-Harris campaign.
Yeah, cue the band. You're right. I do need a timekeeper. But it's too hard. I just can't. I cannot stay on task. I don't know what my problem is, but I can't stay on task. So, you see all the money, you see how it exchanged hands. That in and of itself impeaches Juan Mershon. With any appellate court, it disqualifies him and it causes this case to immediately shift into a mistrial. It immediately exonerates Donald Trump and immediately overturns his quote unquote conviction. Because who on earth, again, if you're a Democrat and you happen to have stumbled upon the show because we are worldwide on Christian Television Network right now, well, maybe you've stumbled on Rumble or Facebook, whatever it may be. I mean, if you were actually to turn the tables here, and you are being tried by a judge whose daughter is raising money off of your criminal court proceedings. I mean, off of your prosecution. Would you want that judge to stay on the bench? So, you know, try to actually reverse things every now and then and think outside of 2 inches in front of your face. Because we could play these games too if we want to. If we wanted to actually do that ourselves. All right, let's go to the next one. Nanli Marie Carasimi video. Remember when Cash Patel, here's what Cash Patel is going to do about this. Play for me.
I mean, this is so unprecedented. It's just amazing that he would say that.
It's shockingly unconstitutional, Trace. It's great to be with you. And I'm here to announce on your show a measure that I'm working with Congress that should be Congress's bread and butter. And I'm calling for the subpoenas to be issued to Judge Merchant's daughter's company, who made $15+ million from the illicit information pouring out of her father's courtroom. I want to know the bank records because money doesn't lie. Yep. I want to know how deep it is and how much of it went to the family and how much of it is going to the family after this false conviction. And then we need to investigate the FEC actual violations that this judge and his family conducted, because he should never have been overseeing this trial to begin with because of the illicit campaign money that was flowing through there, and the unconstitutional due process violations are only the beginning. So America is calling for accountability of our judicial system, and Congress is the only lever that has it, and I'm hoping for one or two brave members of Congress that I'm talking to issue those subpoenas ASAP.
And this is exactly what needs to happen. And listen, the Trump administration, I believe that they will, but I'm just going to state this, has to have the moral courage. Because, man, when you go after and you start trying to prosecute or investigate these judges, you're going to hear it. But who are you going to hear it from? Brian Krasenstein? Brian Krasenstein is this tall. And I'm sitting.
It's true.
So, you know, who cares? He's a little, he's a lollipop kid. I mean, so who cares what he says? Who cares what MSNBC? Who cares what Jake Tapper says? I mean, who really cares what any of these people say? Yeah, they're going to accuse us of totalitarianism, being Nazis, whatever else. No, we're responding to Nazis. Were there not Nuremberg trials? I mean, you don't just leave. If people were afraid back in the late 40s to try Nazis, because they would appear to be like Nazis because they're trying Nazis, then there never would have been any of those Nazis hanging from a rope as they should have been. So you have to have the moral courage to do this. There's so many people, and again, I'll come up with my list at some point. I already did a list, and it was really boring to a lot of people, so I don't know if people really want my list. But there's a huge list of people that need to be sued, litigated, prosecuted, fired, lose their pensions, and lose their freedom and spend the rest of their life in federal prison. Many of them. Francis Collins, Anthony Fauci, Rochelle Walensky, Jack Smith, Juan Merchan, Tanya Shutkin, conspiracy against rights is what they're going to be charged with. Because you can't just be a judge in a case and have think of your daughter's politically benefiting from a case you're overseeing. What do you do then? It's just one word. You recuse yourself. That's what you do. If your daughter is raising money off of this case, then you certainly shouldn't be the judge over it. Can't you on the left agree with that? That if it was your case and the judge's daughter was raising money off of your criminal case, your criminal trial, that judge ought not to be your judge? I mean, isn't it simple? Again, I could go on and on. I'm not going to do it. But this, we have to have the political courage to actually investigate judges. We have to do it. Tanya Shutkin needs to be criminally investigated. So do many of the, really probably 90% of the 1-6 judges. Michael Fanone needs to be criminally investigated. Harry Dunn, criminally investigated. Gunnell, criminally investigated. Of course, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Mitch McConnell for 1-6 need to be criminally investigated. Trump on day one needs to order, credit Steve Bannon with this, needs to order Mark Milley back onto active duty for him to be tried for treason. They don't have to try him right away. You need to criminally investigate. White Rage Millie and find out exactly what he was doing in the waning days of the Trump administration. It has to happen. You cannot be afraid of what Jake Tapper says, or MSNBC, or CNN, ABC, CBS, The Wall Street Journal, The New York Times. Doesn't matter what they say. Doesn't matter what they say. All right, let's go to the next one. And here, more on Trump here. This is Trump win. A lot of these have been kind of like Trump losses, sort of Trump losses. But when Kash Patel is about to be your FBI director and he's going to investigate these things, he's going to basically close down the FBI building and put all those 7,000 FBI agents onto criminal cases. Those are wins. So real Robert video, and here it is. The criminal conspiracy involving NARA, the FBI, and DOJ, and Special Prosecutor Jack Smith. Jack Smith is on and about right now trying to release his investigative material, which is totally biased to the public, which nobody ever does except if it's Donald Trump. Except if the person, and Donald Trump's been the only person, who is an actual threat to the leftist, bourgeois, elitist, globalist, i.e. the Democratic Party. So suddenly, a prosecutor wants to release his prosecution, and you shouldn't be able to release it because there's no rebuttal to it. If it's an actual trial transcript, there's rebuttal to both the prosecution witnesses and the defense witnesses, the prosecution evidence and the defense evidence. Here, it's just Jack Smith's biased opinions about what Trump did and didn't do, both with the records case and what I call the insurrection case, where up in D.C. under Tanya Shutkin, where, of course, he's never been tried with insurrection, but they're pseudo-trying him for insurrection, for protesting an election. That's all that he did, was he basically just said, I don't agree, for disagreeing with the outcome of elections being criminally prosecuted for. You know, the exact same thing that Hillary Clinton's still doing in reference to 2016, that Stacey Abrams is still doing in reference to her non-election in 2016. But Trump gets criminally prosecuted for not agreeing with the results of an election. So here it is. John Solomon actually talking criminal conspiracy involving NARA. Play it for me.
Year, the Justice Department and Democrats have defined what went on at Mar-a-Lago and why President Trump had to be raided by the FBI. Today, attorney Tim Parlatore, one of the lawyers working on this case, said, here's the real story of what happened. First off, President Trump was treated differently than others by the National Archives. They didn't grab his documents and prepare them for the archives. They had the GSA box him up without the president's knowledge and send him to Mar-a-Lago. And there was no process to segregate classified documents from other mementos. So there are boxes where there's a napkin where the president writes something on it. And then there is a daily schedule. Then there's some news clips. And oh, then there's a classified document that clearly was just part of his day. So he got treated differently. That's how the process started. Then they launch a criminal investigation, and the president tells an FBI agent why they're there. You can come back anytime and search voluntarily. Got nothing to hide. Come back anytime you want. According to this letter, the Justice Department never told that to the judge who signed the search warrant. They've never told that to the public. Tonight is the first time we've been told that the president said you can come back and voluntarily consent. I'll consent for you to search here. They didn't take that math. They did that for Joe Biden, right? They searched all of his offices voluntarily without a raid. Donald Trump got a different treatment. That's what this letter says, and that's why the lawyers are asking Congress to intervene. Get involved in here. The bureaucrats are trying to cover up their own mistakes by trying to bring a criminal prosecution against President Trump. That's what the lawyers argued tonight. A lot of new details about what's in the boxes.
So Tim Pelletori, Trump's attorney, has said that the GSA, now get this now, and this is something that I've alleged on this show before. GSA, which is the General Services Administration, what do they do? Of course, everybody needs to understand, just like every business that comes out of Beijing is part of the PLA, the People's Liberation Army, and the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party. Just every governmental agency, including the GSA, is leftist. It's establishment. It's swamp. It's the administrative state. A bunch of unelected bureaucrats. And it's not just unelected bureaucrats. It's unelected leftist bureaucrats. Not even liberal. Leftist bureaucrats. And this GSA comes in. Trump never asked them to box up all of his stuff. Trump wasn't part of them boxing up and stuff. They, Aaron, they did him a big favor and just did it.
Oh, that's nice.
They came in and just boxed up all the stuff without any of his opinions, without him giving any sort of insight into what should be boxed, what shouldn't be boxed. They just boxed it all up. So how do we know that, first of all, the GSA didn't just go grab classified documents, that Trump didn't even have in his possession and put them in these boxes? And they taped up these boxes. You need to understand something. It's just like when all the rest of us move, times a thousand, when you have one administration leaving the White House after living there for 4 years, there's lots of stuff to box up. Now, the GSA, to be fair on this, the GSA does always do this. But in this case here, there was absolutely no cooperation with Trump. They boxed it up as they saw fit on their own timetable and shipped it all down to Mar-a-Lago. It sounds like entrapment, does it not? GSA just goes in there wantonly, boxes up all of Trump's stuff without him being involved in it at all. And then send it down. Trump doesn't even know what's at Mar-a-Lago. And then gets criminally charged with being in possession of stuff he doesn't know he's in possession of. Because it's all, Trump's not going to go. I mean, come on, Donald Trump is worth $8 to $15 billion. He's running Trump International. You think he's going to go out there to his secured building, with under Secret Service protection, unlike Biden's boxes in his garage, where Hunter Biden is walking Russian whores by every day in his Rehoboth Beach mansion, buying walls and guns you're not allowed to have. I digress. But Trump's not going to go out there and open up the boxes. What's he going to open up the box for? These are all taped shut. He has no idea what's in them. And remember how this went. The FBI goes in there and says, you know, we would appreciate if you, and again, I know how this worked. And again, this is my opinion. It hasn't been totally proven, but it really is proven. We know that Biden attorney solicited NARA, the National Archives, to complain. Again, just like Merrick Garland did with the NSA, the National School Board Association, not the National Security Agency, the National School Board Association. They needed complaints about MAGA people. So Merrick Garland sends a letter to the NSA saying, we need you to complain about, just say that you're afraid of these MAGA people speaking at school board meetings so that we can create a terrorist watch list and eventually take away their rights. Same thing happened here. The Biden administration solicited NARA to complain about Donald Trump. To this day, everybody, you need to understand something. To this day, Hussein Obama owns NARA. Hussein Obama left the presidency on January 20th of 2017. And to this day, he has not returned one of the requested documents that NARA has asked him to return. And there's 144,000 of them. Not one. And he doesn't get prosecuted. That's weird. I wonder if he's got the drone footage when he executed two Americans using drones. But anyway, so they go down. So NARA complies with the Biden administration request and actually complains to the Biden administration via the Biden administration requesting them to complain. So then the FBI can get involved. Remember, Joe Biden is completely unbiased, and the DOJ is not in any way, shape, or form connected with the Biden administration. They're both independent entities, if you believe that. You've got a screw loose. But anyway, so they go down and meet with President Trump about his records violations. Nobody else, again, Hussein Obama, at that point, because we're talking about at this time, midway, late, whatever it was, 2021, Hussein Obama at that time was more than 4 years into not returning documents upon NARA request. Donald Trump was a few months into it. And they say that he was unusually, that's what you'll hear on MSNBC, from Jake Tapper, whoever it may be, Chuck Todd, whatever. You'll hear them say, Donald Trump's the only one that didn't cooperate. Oh, really? Joe Biden had those records that he's never allowed to have in his possession for decades, Hussein Obama for 4+ years, and Donald Trump for 4+ months, but he's the uncooperative one. And he's in possession of what the GSA boxed up for him. Do we even know that it was his stuff? How can we prove that it was that it's all his stuff? Which again, that is a chain of custody issue very easily defeated at the appellate level. So the FBI goes down there now because Nara's complaining and says to Donald Trump, well, we would appreciate it if you stored these boxes in a more secure area behind a padlock. So Trump puts them behind a padlock and at that time tells the FBI, you are more than welcome to check every single one of these boxes, no problem. So what do? 2 weeks later, they raid his home and check the boxes. And that's why you had specific FBI agents refusing to cooperate with this raid because they're like, we can do this without making emergency accommodations at local emergency rooms for gunshot victims. That's they were having to do that because of this raid. So they raid him, then they cut off the padlock they told him to put on. And Donald Trump said, you can check everything you want to check. I've got nothing to hide. They could have checked it that day if they wanted to, but they didn't because they wanted to raid it, obviously. And they were also trying to secure collusion hoax evidence, and they were trying to, because image is everything. How you portray things is everything, right? I mean, obviously not. Say that sarcastically. But image is everything in politics. They wanted to be able to say, look, Donald Trump was in illegal possession of documents, just like Joe Biden, who's 1,850 boxes of highly compartmented classified information that he could not possibly be in legal possession of because he had them while he was vice president and a senator, even stealing materials from SCIFs and taking it home as a senator. Donald Trump has the Presidential Records Act, so he can be in lawful possession, and everything he was in possession of, he was in lawful possession of. There's no way for Joe Biden to be in possession of those things. I mean, to be in lawful possession of those things. But Donald Trump gets prosecuted, and Joe Biden doesn't, because we are not becoming a banana republic. We are currently a banana republic. So that's what actually happened. That was the actual cover-up at Mar-a-Lago and the whole NARA presidential records, classified documents, Jack Smith hoax, and now Jack Smith wants to release his report. You know, I wonder if he's going to include in that how he tampered with evidence, how he tampered with evidence, changed evidence, had the FBI bring in their little file folder markers and all those different things. Don't have time to get into all that. Let's get into Mark Zuckerberg for just a minute. Libs of TikTok video. Mark Zuckerberg says the Biden administration called his employees and screamed and cursed at them to take down. Can you imagine this? United States of America and the current administration called up a news outlet and call it whatever we want. It's a news outlet. It's a platform and screamed and cursed at them to take down COVID vaccine content. Play it for me, Tom.
These people from the Biden administration would call up our team and like, scream at them and curse, and it's like these documents are—it's all kind of out there.
Oh, did
and
you record any of those phone calls?
I don't think we. I think
I want to listen.
I mean, there are emails. the emails are published. It's all kind of out there, and they're like, and basically, it just got to this point where we were like, no, we're not gonna take down things that are true. That's ridiculous. They wanted us to take down this meme of Leonardo DiCaprio looking at a TV talking about how 10 years from now or something, you know, you're going to see an ad that says, okay, if you took a COVID vaccine, you're eligible for, for this kind of payment, like this sort of like class action lawsuit type meme. And they're like, no, you have to take that down. And we just said, no, we're not going to take down humor and satire. We're not going to take down things that are true. And then at some point, I don't know, it flipped a bit. I mean, Biden, when he gave some statement at some point, I don't know if it was a press conference or to some journalists, where he basically was like, these guys are killing people. And I don't know, then like all these different agencies and branches of government basically just like started investigating and coming after our company. It was brutal. It was brutal.
Wow.
One. All right, stealing from Aaron. He just wants to be Elon Musk. It's too late. Tommy and I were talking about this when we were driving up to Tampa together today. There's things you cannot come back from. Mark, They called and yelled and screamed at you, and you bent over. And you grabbed each butt cheek, and you spread it wide for the turkey baster of government. That's what you did, and there's no coming back. Your anus can never retract back to its original shape. Too much has been jammed up in there, Mark. There's some things you cannot come back from. You can't be Elon, because the moment that Elon bought Twitter, he released Alex Jones and put Donald Trump back on there. You've been doing this for 4 years. I don't think Trump's still not allowed back on Facebook yet. I could be wrong on that. But anyway, I'm just saying, you had your opportunity. You could have told them no. And again, you won't take down Leonardo DiCaprio, but you took me down. I wasn't saying anything that wasn't true. I said masks don't work, and I was taken down. Suspended, banned, all those different things. Shadow banned, regular banned, kicked off, all those different things. I never said anything. Now he always says that what they're going to police now is violence and terrorism, pornography. I didn't do any of that stuff. Drugs, none of it. I did nothing. We were talking, this is like our original podcast team in here tonight, which is Aaron and my son Tommy and me. And we're hearkening back to when we first started. I wasn't saying anything. I was saying what was true. Lockdowns don't work. Did they work? No. Masks don't work. Did they work? No. The virus did not have a 10% death rate. Most Democrats believe that the virus has a 50% death rate. It has a 0.1% death rate. I was saying everything that was true. I was releasing the Axe Force Leonidas study out of Stanford, that bastion of right-wing conspiracy theory, right? So, I mean, that's all that I was. I'm still banned. Aaron and I are testing Facebook again. We're not getting anybody on Facebook. I have 30,000 followers. I have nobody watching right now. I have 10,000 personally. The church has 20,000. We have nobody watching. And the last time we tried the church, I don't know if it was the last time, but one of the last times we tried the church, we got banned again. Got taken down. So Mark Zuckerberg is full of crap. He wants to, all these Democrats, what they're doing right now, and I don't know the correct verbiage for it, but it's not a proactive, it's a reactive approach by Democrats. What they're doing is now trying to get on the correct side of history, but history is already behind them. It's like Deborah Birx saying, we overplayed the vaccinations. Then why did you sit on it for over 2 years, you whore? Why'd you do it? If you knew it was being overplayed, then why didn't you say anything? So now she says it after 35 million excess deaths that we overplayed the vaccinations. So she could say, I'm on the record being somebody that said we should have toned back our rhetoric on the vaccine. It's too late. When it needed to be toned down, you didn't tone it down. You can't come back from that. You're on the record pimping and whoring a deadly clot-causing vaccination. Myocarditis-causing vaccination. SV40 included in the vaccination. Vaccination. Too late, Debbie, with your little scarf. It's too late. And it's the same thing with Zuckerbucks. It's too late. You can't be Elon. Sorry. You had your opportunity 4 years ago to be Elon, and you chose not to be. What should you have done? And he says, when he pushed back, the Biden regime started investigating his companies. Aaron, has that happened to Elon? Yes. Did you not hear Joe Biden threatening on the national stage? Threatened, we're going to need to look into his dealings with foreign companies. Oh, really? Why don't we look into the 23 Biden shell companies' dealings with foreign companies? So they did the same thing Elon. Did Elon stop? Nope. Sorry, you missed your opportunity. I say this to all the COVID caving pastors, because they're all acting like, what pastors come out? The pastors that closed their churches, pimped and hoarded the vaccines from their pulpits, stood 6 feet apart, put out alcohol gel stations and did Zoom services and put masks on everybody in their churches. Have you heard any of them come out and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong? Or are all of them just obfuscating the truth by acting like they were always on board with the anti-COVID, anti-vax agenda? It's amazing to me how I see people, they see the fires and then they see the the Trump Tower in Vegas bombing. And like, oh, there's conspiracy behind that. But all these same people took the vaccination and closed their churches. They see the conspiracy there, but they don't see the conspiracy with Fauci and the World Health Organization and the FDA and the NIH and the CDC. You don't see it there. And not to mention the Christians who should know Revelation 13 and 14, where the Antichrist spirit tries to leverage you into a one world commerce system with a single access point controlled by them. Revelation 13, 16, 17, 18. Revelation 4, 14, 9 through 16. And you can't see it where you can't buy, sell, trade, or travel without your Arrive Can app in Canada, without your Excelsior Pass in NYC, without your Green Pass in Israel, without your vaccine passport in all of the European Union and Australia, and all the Christians where are the Christians in these countries going, I'm not gonna submit to the mark of the beast. But they all want to do revisionist history. They all want to now make a statement when it doesn't matter. It's already all over. You needed to make the statement years ago, Zuckerbucks. And what's Mark Zuckerberg really all about, shall we? Now, he said here that they were, remember this now as we watch this video with Dr. Brian Artist. Zuckerberg says the Biden administration, credit libs of TikTok, called his employees and screamed and cursed at them to take down COVID vaccine content. Why didn't Mark take it down? Did he have another vested interest in vaccines? Let's look. Play it for me, Tom.
Actually, there's a company, a subsidiary company of Pfizer. It's called Zotis, Z-O-T-I-S. Do you know they've already mRNA injected 100 million wildlife in America? I guarantee you they're doing it to pets too. It's only mRNA technology funded completely by Mark Zuckerberg and his wife's foundation. They've been doing it all over the country for the whole last year and a half. Zotis is its name. It's a subsidiary of Pfizer.
This is some real sugar, honey, iced tea.
You ain't lying. You know what's interesting? When I learned about Zotis and this sugar, honey, iced tea, because that's what it was to me. Do you know who were the only people that knew that the wildlife, deer, for example, elk, for example, were actually being mRNA injected for COVID? It was all the hunters. Hunters, it was being published in hunters' magazines. I'm not a hunter, but hunters were aware the whole time that this was actually being done and it was being published inside their literature. I had no idea. But when I discovered it, I was like, what? Why is no one talking about this? When I discovered it on Staten Island, Zuckerberg and his wife funded a research study. They went out and gathered up 100 white-tailed deer and then PCR tested them all for COVID. And then injected them all with the mRNA vaccines from Pfizer with this company called Zotis. And then went and did 100 million animals. 100 million doses have been administered at that point all throughout the country. And no one knew it. And no one's talked about it. What's it going to be like when a hunter goes out and gets the deer and then brings home the venison they think's organic and wild? Wow. It's pretty disgusting. But I would be worried about that.
They're going to put that in their body when they eat it.
They're already injecting mRNA technology into vegetables, tomatoes, avocados, lettuce, gavi. Bill Gates' foundation is already doing that. And in China, they're already mRNA injecting cattle for our beef supply.
This is crazy.
So Zuckerberg says on Joe Rogan's show that the Biden administration called him and screamed and cursed at him to take down COVID vaccine content. So his resistance there was fake resistance. So he could get them on the record, so he could blame them. Because how would you be against the vaccination when you and your wife are running this Zotis organization and you go out and you round up 100 white-tailed deer, PCR test deer? What kind of sick, convoluted, moronic, retarded idiot do you have to be to go round up deer to PCR test them for COVID? Aaron, did you see? We have a lot of deer live in this area. Mm-hmm. How many deer did you see drop dead from COVID?
Zero.
Me too. I got zero. I'm driving down the road. I'm just looking at my right. And I'm looking at my left, and all these deer are dropping dead from COVID. None. But he goes out and rounds up 100 of them, PCR tests them, shoves that thing up their nostril, PCR tests them. And of course, PCR tests are 97% inaccurate. And then mRNA injects them all with the COVID vaccination so that they can have a test study group, which then justifies them going out and injecting 100 million. Everybody get that? Each million is 1,000 thousands. He injects 100 million wild animals with his mRNA vaccination. Are you sure that are you sure that he wanted to resist this vaccine data that was being put out on Facebook? I mean, I can tell you this. He certainly didn't want my content out there on Facebook, which was anti-vaccine. And now he's saying the Biden administration screamed and cursed at them to take down the COVID vaccine content. You sure he really wanted to take it down? Sure didn't seem like it when he's out there running the ZOTUS and injecting wild. Who gave him the right to inject our deer? Who gave Bill Gates the rights to release chemically altered, biologically altered mosquitoes in the state of Florida? Anybody give him a right? Who gave him the right to do these things? He needs to go to prison for the rest of his life. And so does Zuckerberg. He can come out now and he's trying to act all innocent. This guy is evil and nasty, and there's no coming back. The only way he could come back at all is if right now I'm able to friend somebody on Facebook. I still can't. I haven't been able to friend anybody on Facebook for the last 4 years of the 5 years of 15 days to flatten the curve. All right, that's it with that. I'll keep going on and on and on. But anyway, I should never even list into COVID stuff. All right, let's go to the fire. Colin Rugg video. Just in, Los Angeles Fire Department Chief Kristen Crowley, part of the Lesbian Alliance, that runs the LA Fire Department, and they've done such a great job. Which, by the way, the last percentages that I saw of containment, there's three fires burning. The highest containment level so far, Aaron, is 6%.
Oh,
the others are both still zero. Great job, okay. Great job, Christina Crowley. Great job, man. Great job. All these days and nothing. And here's the thing: you know you could rally assets from around the state to help you. And you could do that, but that doesn't happen either because all you're good at is loving ladies, I guess. Certainly aren't good at putting out fires. But now she's the rat scurrying off the ship. And right, she's saying the right things because they are correct, trying to save herself. Los Angeles Fire Department Chief Kristen Crowley turns on Los Angeles leadership. Play for me.
Period. Did the city of Los Angeles fail you and your department and our city?
It's my job to stand up as a chief and exactly say justifiably what the fire department needs to operate to meet the demands of the community.
Did they fail you?
That is our job, and I tell you, that's why I'm here. So let's get us what we need so our firefighters can do their jobs.
Did they fail you?
Yes.
Chief Kristen Crowley, I believe the anchors wanted to ask a question. Had some comments.
Mm-hmm. We do, Gigi. If you could please ask her regarding the Times article that came out that the Santa Ynez Reservoir was closed to repairs and it was empty. 117 million gallons of water could have been used in this fight.
The question is about the Santa Ynez Reservoir being empty. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of questions about that.
Sure. So my stance on this is when a firefighter comes up to a hydrant, we expect there's going to be water. We don't control the water supply. Our firefighters are there to protect lives and property and to make sure that we're properly trained and equipped. That's my position on this. So if there's no water, I don't know how the water gets to the hydrants. Please defer that to DWP or whomever controls that part. But I can tell you the resiliency of our firefighters, if there's no water, they're going to go find water. They're going to figure out a way to do the best they can with what they've got in a very dynamic situation.
And I know you expressed concerns that those DWP hydrants would not be inspected thoroughly because of the budget cuts.
That is something to discuss, and we're going to look into that in regard to how we can ensure there's going to be water when we need it. But in the end, you know, I'm going to defer that to DWP and whomever else controls the supply. I can guarantee you that when our firefighters showed up on that day with what they had, they did absolutely everything they could do to rescue and to save people's lives and property. And that's the bottom line. Now let's get them what they need to do their jobs.
Let's get them water, Chief, because I was with your firefighters and they literally were watching a house burn down with pain in their eyes.
Let's go right to the next one. Gunther Eagleman video. Later in the day, now she's on CNN with Jake Tapper. She doubles down. Play for me, Tom.
I want to be very, very clear. Yes, we took a $17 million budget cut. And as we know, any budget cut would negatively impact our ability to carry out our mission. I want to also clarify that I'm not a politician. I'm a public servant. It's my job as the fire chief of the Los Angeles City Fire Department to make sure that our firefighters have exactly what they need to do their jobs. And that's why I'm talking to you today. The Palisades fire, everybody's seen it. It is absolutely one of the most horrific natural disasters in the history of Los Angeles. And even with an additional 100 engines, I tell you, we were not going to catch that fire. But with that being said, let me be clear. The $17 million budget cut and the elimination of our civilian positions like our mechanics did and has and will continue to severely impact our ability to repair our apparatus. So with that, we have over 100 fire apparatus out of service. And having these apparatus in the proper amount of mechanics would have helped. And so it did absolutely negatively impact. I want to also be clear that I have, over the last 3 years, been clear that the fire department needs help. We can no longer sustain where we are. We do not have enough firefighters. With that, I have also requested multiple budgets, interim budgets, to show how understaffed, under-resourced, and underfunded the LAFD is. So with that, also, we have clear data that shows the LAFD needs more help. We need 62 more fire stations. These reports also show that we've had a 55% increase in overall call volume since 2010. And guess what? We're doing it with less firefighters. I was also directed to develop a plan as part of a budget reduction exercise, and that could equate to $48.8 million. And I warned, I rang the bell that these additional cuts could be very, very devastating for our ability to provide public safety. That would have resulted to 15 fire stations closing down and potentially the elimination of over 300 firefighters. Again, I want to be clear that I submitted a very large budget that will actually allow our firefighters to do their jobs. And I tell you.
So just some main points there. She says they're missing 100 pieces of apparatus. In other words, fire trucks and fire equipment, 100 pieces of it. And she said they should have 62 more stations than they have. But what did Karen Bass do? Cut $17.4 million out of their budget. $4 million also were cut. Additional funds were cut out of the city budget also. And all $21 million were given to illegal aliens. That's exactly what happened. And all of their, remember, she said they're missing 100 pieces of apparatus firefighting equipment. I wonder if that's part of the equipment that was shipped over to the 16 fire departments in Ukraine. While our country looks like downtown Dresden in 1944, Ukraine's rocking and rolling with all of our fire equipment over in Ukraine. And she wanted 60 more fire stations. Look at this. Very interesting statistical day. Look who gets the most money in the city of Los Angeles. Top 10 highest paid employees. Now you look at this overtime. How do you get this level of overtime? People need to, this all needs to be audited and people need to go to federal prison. I'm not kidding you. Here's Mark Chambers. Load dispatcher. That sounds like me when I'm going to the bathroom. Load dispatcher. Whatever that means. Department of Water and Power. Okay, so look who's got the most, the people making the most money are the people who emptied the reservoirs. The people who caused there to be no water. As much as I would love to blame the fire chief, I would, but I can't. She can't fill reservoirs. She's incompetent. She's inept. She could have easily, Aaron was talking about volunteer firefighter force. She could have easily raised that up. She's too lazy to do that. She's too much, she's very, very much invested in DEI only and not actually raising up a sufficient amount of firefighters, both full-time and volunteers, paid and volunteers. But you look at who gets the most money here. Look at who gets the most money. Load dispatcher Mark Chambers, Department of Water and Power. So the people who failed the most get paid the most. That is government. Look at what he gets, base salary. How do I get this job? His base salary is $293,000 a year. He makes more than that in overtime and other. What's other? Where he makes just under $900,000 a year to be a Department of Water and Power guy. Next up is John Ketchius, who's the fire captain. So again, the people who failed the most are making the most. He has a base salary of $176,000 a year, and his overtime is three times that amount?
That's crazy.
This needs to be audited. And other is $10,000. He makes a fire captain making $801,000 a year. It's quite the jobs they have in Los Angeles to glide. Now, you would figure, and correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron, if you are going to be getting paid as a load dispatcher, Department of Water and Power, and a fire captain, $1.6 million cumulatively, you'd think, man, there's no way a fire could defeat the city then.
Right. They're the best.
Yeah, you'd have to be the best,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You'd have to be not only galactically competent, but just unbelievably perfect. But instead, right now there's three fires burning, and they've been burning for days, and more fires keep getting set, I guess by climate change. Is that the people running around blowtorches setting fires, climate change? As she called it, remember she called it a naturally occurring event? No. It was either galactic failure on the utility companies and on the government, or it was arson. All right, next person up, another load dispatcher. So there's more than one. This guy makes cumulatively $786,000 a year. Next one is Gary Caraval, another Department of Water and Power guy. So the people, look at all the different water and powers. See them all? There they all are. Every single, out of the 10, 8 of them are people working for water and power. What started the fire and what could, and what wasn't there to put out the fire. Right. Power is what started the fire, because we all know it started on a power line or with arson. Nothing to do with climate change. Because most of their power lines have 1950s equipment on them. And the ones that don't have 1950s equipment on them, you're like, oh, thank goodness, got 2020 equipment, 2019 equipment, 1921 equipment. That's communist government. Go drive around Cuba. And what you'll see in Cuba are cars from the 1970s. Because there is no money. Because there is no ambition. And look at, right down, William Santana, Department of Water and Power, $763,000 a year. Jason Contreras, Department of Water and Power, $763,000 a year. Gregory Martin, Department of Water and Power, $740,000 a year. Andrew Martin, Department of Water and Power, $737,000 a year. And finally, Chief Port Pilot, John Dwyer, makes $731,000 a year and doesn't make any overtime, but somehow he gets a $373,000 bonus under the category of other. And then bringing down, and then the lowest paid of them all is Brad Low-Tier Weller, Department of Water and Power, making a mere $606,000 a year. So these are the people in charge of what started the fire and in charge of what should put out the fire, which is water in hydrants. Shouldn't the government at least be able to put water in hydrants? Shouldn't you be able to work that out? I guess not. All right, let's go to the next one. So here's another person. LA's $750,000 a year water chief, that's without overtime, who allegedly oversaw the emptying, why would you be emptying, the Santa Ynez Reservoir, previously said her number one priority was equity. So if you're in charge of water, Aaron, correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. If you're in charge, if you're in charge of water, what should be your number one priority?
Water.
Water.
Yeah.
Not hiring gay people. Not hiring transgender people. Not hiring black people or white people or Mexican people. It should be freaking water when you are the water chief? Here she is on a radio program. Play for me.
You call it powered by equity, and I know that it's been really important for the DWP to put an equity lens on everything.
Yes. Yeah, and that's the number one thing that attracted me to this role. Coming from the communities that I come, seeing what I've seen through my career in utilities and through the military, I've been in the Coast Guard 19 and a half years now, so I got 6 more months to qualify for my 20 years, which was my original goal.
Wow, congratulations, thank you for your service.
Thank you, thank you. It's important to me that everything we do, it's with an equity lens and social justice and making sure that we right the wrongs that we've done in the past from an infrastructure perspective and that we involve the community in that process. And this utility is serious about it, is authentic about it. And so I'm just super excited to be part of that movement.
Again, stealing from Aaron, you know, you really wouldn't have to worry about equity if you just gave water to everyone. You don't really need to worry about, should I get water to the black neighborhood, the white neighborhood, the Hispanic neighborhood, the legals, whatever, what the legals, the illegals. You know what? Just give water to everybody but the illegals. And maybe they'll walk back to Mexico where they belong. So, and here's the double bonus. Leave that up for me, Aaron, for just a minute. Janice Quinones is her name. Luckily, we get rear-ended twice by her because not only she's going to get, she gets a Coast Guard pension now.
Oh,
and $750,000 a year. And once again, if you're in charge of water and you get paid $750,000 a year, these fires must have been put out in 10 seconds. Oh, no, we're day 4 into 3 fires burning, 2 of which have 0% containment and 1 of which has 6% containment. That's how great. That's the return on a $750,000 a year investment, not to mention our Coast Guard pension she's going to get from us. Great job, Janice Quinones. Fantastic job. So, and again, their number one priority was making sure that at the Department of Water and Power that they hired enough men dressed as women and women dressed as men. It's worked out so well. When you do aerial footage of California, folks, and you already know this because it's all over the media, it is beyond riveting. It's beyond. Well, there's a little bit more footage in the post game. It is beyond cataclysmic. I honestly cannot believe my eyes. All right, let's go to the next one, Tom. Libs of TikTok tweet. Holy crap. LA Fire Department reportedly canceled their annual fire hydrant testings a few weeks ago. That was not a good idea. Citing fiscal challenges. That really helps. Does that help all the residents? This is how leftists act. As long as I have an excuse, it's all good. As long as I have some sort of viable, in my own eyes, excuse, it's all good. So we didn't even check the hydrants because there was no money to check them because Karen Bass cut the budget to check fire hydrants. It's kind of important to check fire hydrants if you want to put out fires. And by the way, fires come every year. And I've heard the idiots, like the Krasensteins, Lollipop Kids, say things like, well, I guess if you're saying that Gavin Newsom should be fired from his job, then Ron DeSantis should be fired from his job because Hurricane Ian destroyed Fort Myers. I mean, it did $4 million worth of damage to the church building I'm sitting in right now. He should be fired. There is no way to contain or prevent a hurricane. I understand the weather mitigation systems and the moderation stuff and the weather weapons. I get all that. I'm just saying in a normal way. And there's no way to predict them. Every freaking year in California, they have a wind that blows through there at the exact same time called the Santa Ana winds. Every year. And you know what you want to do when you're going to get winds between 50 and 100 miles an hour? Cut the brush away from the power lines. Especially when your power lines were built in 1952. And are now 72, 73 years old. And your other power structure was built 30 years before that. You might not want to have rotting, dead vegetation up against your antiquated power lines. It makes sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
So Tommy and I did a little experiment while we were driving down the road today on our way up to Tampa. And we looked over to our right and to our left, and we looked at all the power lines in the state of Florida, which, by the way, were built in the 21st century.
It's true.
Okay, concrete way up in the air, okay? And there wasn't one piece of dead brush touching any of them.
Hmm.
You know why? Because Ron DeSantis doesn't have his head inserted up his rectum. That's why. I mean, it's really quite, and every single year, you never know when a hurricane's going to strike. But you certainly know when the Santa Ana winds are going to dust up. You know when they're going to blow. They blow the exact same time every year, and they start fires every year. And you know what you might want to do is check your hydrants and mitigate your forest. What a bunch of idiots. All right, go to the next one for me. Adam Hughes tweet. Lesbians. I love that. Lesbians. The chances a fire department would have one lesbian are... Aaron makes me laugh when he laughs. 0.08%. Three lesbians in one fire department. This is like COVID stats. Three lesbians in one department, 0.0097%. But the LA fire department has three. What are those odds? Oh, 0.0097%. So Christina Crowley, lesbian fire chief. That should be all their titles, by the way. Just put lesbian in front of them. She makes $439,000 a year. Christina Kepner, lesbian assistant chief, $264,000 a year. My favorite of all is Christine Larson. She's my favorite because she's the one on video yesterday saying that when you're being rescued, you want somebody of your own color, your own race, your own gender, and your own sexual orientation to be your rescuer. She says that on their produced video. This is not, leave this up for me. This is not a video like, you know, I used to just make videos live and I just, you know, who knows what I could say. That wasn't that. This is their produced LAFD fire propaganda video. It's a produced video they put out on social media. And she says that, that, you know what? When people are being rescued by the fire department, they want to be rescued by people of their own color, their own race, their own gender, their own sexual orientation. Really? Have you ever thought of that in your life? And then she said, when asked, because, you know, women are always going to be questioned as firefighters because you may not be able to drag out a limp body out of a building, say just a 200-pound man. And she said, this was her response, well, if there is a unconscious 200-pound man in a building, well, it was his own fault that he's there to begin with, so I really don't need to deal with it. And it was much worse how she said it than how I just said it. She just said, when she was asked that question, she said, well, it was from his own doing, so really I'm not responsible. Isn't that the essence of rescuing people from either things that they've done themselves to put themselves in that situation, or people who didn't, via their own actions, put themselves in a situation where they need to be rescued? I.e., what is she going to do with the 200-pound man that's laying on the road after his motorcycle got hit? What's he going to do then? How's she going to drag him off the road? Is that it, Aaron?
Yep.
Oh, I'll play it.
You want to see somebody that responds to your house, your emergency, whether it's a medical call or a fire call, that looks like you. It gives that person a little bit more ease, knowing that somebody might understand their situation better. Is she strong enough to do this? Or, you couldn't carry my husband out of a fire, which my response is, he got himself in the wrong place if I have to carry him out of a fire.
Hey, Aaron, play that side-by-side again just so I can make fun of it. Okay. But he put himself in that situation. How do you know he put himself in that situation? What if he has smoke inhalation? I mean, these are the 0.0097% lesbians that we have running this fire. Look, how would you like to have that rescuing you? That right there. What is she going to do? I mean... there is not one of these women that could do a single push-up. Not a single push-up. None of them could run 100 yards. Look at this woman run. That's what you want coming for you right there?
She's
coming.
That's
what you want? And she's only going to... now, what she'll do, though, is when she gets to you, she's going to assess whether or not it's your fault that you're in the situation that you're in. And if it's your fault, she's not going to rescue you. And if it isn't your fault, she's still not going to be able to rescue you. Those are your options. Go, Aaron.
When they show up, do they like give you their pronouns and stuff? Like,
yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Before I rescue, before we you know, put an oxygen line on you and do some resuscitation.
Yeah.
We want me to know, what do you identify as?
I'm a he, him. I'm he, a white him, male, her, cis.
Right. Cisgender, yeah, whatever it may
be. Just in case. You know.
So go to the next one for me, Tom. The pick. Do I have the pick? I don't have the pick of the three lesbos.
Yep. You got it right here.
There we go. There they are. That's who's running the fire department in L.A. Right there.
Oh.
There, yo, that's who's running the fire department. Let me show you this one. Eric Abinante video. Mainstream media. This is from the from PBD podcast. Patrick by David podcast. Mainstream media wants to blame climate change for insurance companies not covering damage. So what the mainstream media is saying, as always, bold-faced Goebbels propagandist lies. And again, I just can't get past this. How can you be a person who lies for a living and you know it, and then you go home and are a father or a husband? You're a repulsive, disgusting reprobate. But mainstream media is putting out the propaganda that climate change caused insurance companies to cancel their coverage. What really caused them to cancel their coverage? Play it for me, Tom.
State Farm non-renewed 69% of the policies it had in Pacific Palisades. Data point this morning confirmed. State Farm said last year, we're non-renewing 69% of the homes we insure currently today in Palisades. Why? Long-term brush risk and poor management of the common area.
You can't blame them.
No, I'm not blaming them.
I know you're not, but what I'm saying is cannot blame. The business has to make profits, and when the regulators make their life a living hell and make them look bad, what do you want us to do, take a loss every year?
Well, correct. Now I'm going to the punchline. Why did they do that? Because the county of L.A. and the city of L.A. had suspended brush removal in Palisades. This comes down to the county.
Are you joking?
Yeah, you can find it. You can find it was suspended here. Casual brush removal suspended here. Limited brush removal suspended here. This is all going to come out because Zach Levine.
That's when Trump said he got to clean the floor, and the floor.
That's exactly right. And who did? By the way,
because insurance executives who need to make money. By the way, and I'm no big fan of insurance. Believe me. But I'm just or insurance companies or insurance executives. Believe me, I'm in a lawsuit with one right now. But they do have to make money. If it's all this is Allstate, no State Farm, which I don't have positive or negative feelings towards. But anyway, they need to make money, and they know what do they know is coming every year? The Santa Ana winds, and that's going to blow dead brush against 1951 power lines, and they're going to spark and go on in light fires. Which happens every year there. This year, the winds were extreme and blew this fire into an apocalyptic fire in a matter of hours, which still would have been controlled if there was what?
Water.
Okay, yeah, there is none. They emptied out the reservoir that feeds the hydrants. That's smart. It's almost like it's on purpose, isn't it? So they can build a 15-minute city here, which we don't have time to get into tonight, but that is the plan, just like it is in Maui. Too, exact same thing. And they burned that to the ground also. And there was no water available there either. Very strange, isn't it? But from Tom Ellsworth there on PBD, State Farm said last year they were not renewing 70%, 69%, easier to say 70% of their homes we insure currently in what town? Palisades, which just burned to the freaking ground. Why? Long-term brush risk. Why is there a long-term brush risk? Because LA City and LA County suspended brush removal. Why? Because it could adversely affect the environment. You mean the environment that's now burned to the ground? That environment? And so again, a leftist trying to save anything causes what they're trying to save to die or be destroyed. All right, that's it. 10:22. That's good. Hey, make sure you join us this Sunday at Foundation Church. Trying to break our record, 712. Keep etching up. We're up in the sixes, but we need it. We're trying to break 712 people. So join us at Foundation Church. Again, you see my shirt? I love Trump, but Trump is not Jesus. You've got to have a Lord. You've got to have a Savior. You've got to have a pastor. And if you're going to have a pastor, you got to have one as crazy as me who'll say anything. You got to do it. So join us at church this Sunday, 10 a.m. Aaron, you'll see Aaron start to lead our worship, all right, which is unbelievable, by the way. At least watch it. You got to watch it at least one time. Tune in and watch it. Even keep it on in the background. But worship's unbelievable. Aaron will start singing somewhere around 10, 15. I'll take stage about 11. And then you never know what I'm going to say. You might hear, you're going to hear some of this from the pulpit for sure. So join us at Foundation Church this Sunday, 10 a.m. Thanks to everybody in the Rumble Rant. Nitsua, $10. Appreciate it. Tammy L. Margaret, the matriarch of the Rumble Rant, $10. Thank you so much. Love you guys all. Love you guys all in the chat. Really appreciate you. Stick around for the post game. You're going to love it. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. Love you guys. See you on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. If not, I'll see you Monday night at 9 p.m. God bless you. I'm not talking about those who aren't saved. I'm talking about those who are saved. And I'm even especially talking about those who used to be excited about their walk with God. Maybe those who are saved that have never really been excited. And I'm asking myself, why aren't they excited about Jesus, about their walk with God? And I want to tell you why. Are you ready? The reason why is because you've come in before and you've been lit on fire and you really liked it and you went home and did nothing with it. And then you got lit on fire again, got really excited, and then went home and did nothing with it. You've got to go home and pray, Bible study, worship, and fellowship daily. Or it will go out. Your carnal mind, which is a clanging cymbal, will drown out the love of God.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.